Today is the feast of the Most Holy Trinity. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail, and we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock. This Thursday is the feast of Corpus Christi. There will be a high Mass at 9 in the morning, followed by a procession and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Please remain a few minutes after Mass today. Father has an announcement of an important nature. The feast for this week, today is the feast of St. Rita of Cassia. Everyone should know that is St. Rita right there. Wednesday is the feast of St. Gregory the Seventh, the Pope. St. Philip Neri is on Thursday, but Corpus Christi takes its place, the feast's place. Friday is the feast of St. Bede the Venerable, and Saturday is the feast of St. Augustine of Canterbury, two English saints. So, blessing of the articles today, benediction at 6 o'clock, the feast of Corpus Christi this Thursday, and that might trigger for everyone to remember that the following Friday, so that's almost 2 weeks away, is the feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then also, please remain a few minutes after Mass today because Father has an announcement of an important nature. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Epistle to the Romans, St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? For from him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We must ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help in talking about this most sacred mystery of God. And we cannot ask for a better helper because not only is she our mother, but in her relationship to the Holy Trinity, she is unique and special. She is daughter of the Father, mother of the Son, and spouse of the Holy Ghost. And we know it's for those who can penetrate sacred scripture, not those who superficially read scripture. And just on that point, I am one of the generation who prays the Blessed Virgin Mary. I know you all are too. So for those who pride themselves on knowing the scriptures, listen to the prophecy of the Blessed Virgin Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. From thenceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. I'm part of that generation. I call her blessed every day. We call on all people who call themselves Christians to call on the Blessed Mother. Be part of the generation. Be part of the prophecy of Scripture. But we turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary because we know of her relationship to the Blessed Trinity. And we know of her introduction to us by St. Luke, how the angel Gabriel came. And he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And the Blessed Mother, it says, was disturbed by this greeting. And he went on to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God." And then he explains what he's come for. Then the Blessed Mother says to the angel, okay, these are the first words that we have of the Blessed Mother. "How shall this happen, since I do not know man?" We are not here to explain that, but just to make sure we hear it. Blessed Mother is very much aware of everything. And here's the point we want to make here on this quoting of Scripture. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore, the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God.'" Did you hear three persons? Did you hear that? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The Most High shall overshadow you. Overshadow you, that is the Father. And of course, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. There are the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, right at the beginning of the Gospel of St. Luke. Now, the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have already seen in this account, was just by the greeting of the angel, reacted to a degree that we don't have her words, she didn't say anything, but he knew by her reaction that he had to make her feel not afraid. "You have found favor with God." Then after he spoke, she spoke and said, "How can this happen?" She had a question. Not that she didn't believe God could do amazing, miraculous things. But now when the angel tells her what's going to happen by naming the three divine persons, there is no record of the Blessed Mother saying, "I've never heard of that. I don't know what you're talking about." So we ask the Blessed Mother, who is on intimate relations with all of the persons of the Blessed Trinity, to help as we talk about this great mystery. And a mystery, of course, is something that we cannot come to. Supernatural, purely supernatural mystery is something we cannot come to by our own reason and powers of our human nature. This is something that only God can reveal about himself, because it is his own inner life. And we have it given to us constantly in the sacred liturgy. And we all remember what the sacred liturgy is. Oh, by the way, just to say that because we are in the month of the Blessed Mother, we hope everyone is saying the rosary every day. Her feast, the queenship, is coming up at the end of the month, just before the Feast of the Sacred Heart. We hope everyone's praying the rosary every day. We hope everyone is wearing his or her scapular. To die wearing the scapular has the promise that we will be brought to heaven by the first Saturday after we die. And we hope everyone's using miraculous medal. And just carrying the rosary with you. Okay, word to the wise. But back to the sacred liturgy, we know what it is. It's the official prayer of the church. All of us, all the baptized who are part of the body of Christ, enter into his prayer to the Heavenly Father. And the sacred liturgy has brought us to this high point in the year. We can pick out many things during the sacred year of the sacred liturgy. We start with Advent, of course, God coming down on earth, living among us, suffering and dying, going back to heaven to take us there, and sending down the Holy Ghost. These have all been taken care of for us in the first half of the liturgical year. And it culminates in the Feast of the Holy Trinity. This is the middle point in the liturgical year. All of the things we received are the gifts of God at the beginning. Now we are supposed to do something with those gifts in honoring the Holy Trinity, asking for their help, repairing, making up for the sins that we have committed against the Holy Trinity and others do, and thanking them. How many of us have secrets we will never, will never share with anyone? This is a secret of God that's about his very essence, and he has shared it with us. And we have people who despise it and hate it. Can you believe it? And so the sacred liturgy teaches us we are constantly praying the way that the Holy Trinity is. And that principle, just, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but the principle in the sacred liturgy is everything coming from the Father through the Son in the Holy Ghost back to the Father. We'll describe that Trinitarian liturgical law as we look at the Trinitarian life. That is the sacred liturgy. We see it in the prayers of the sacred liturgy. You see all the prayers ending in the invocation of the Trinity. You see it in the great, we call them doxologies, these praises of God, the Gloria. We see it in the minor, that's the major doxology, the minor doxology, we say at the end of every decade of the Rosary, Glory be to the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. We say it in the making the sign of the cross. We are baptized, as the Gospel tells us, in the name of the Trinity. All the sacraments are given to us in the name of the Trinity. It's all around us. We are encompassed. We are brought into the life of the Trinity. That's the sacred liturgy. And so we look at the collect of the Mass. It's unfortunate. We cannot go through everything. I'll just say this one thing. That if you see in the, I'll see how it translates in the Latin here. It says, the English, the introit, blessed be the Holy Trinity and undivided unity. We will give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. So in the English, no problem. It says, he has shown his mercy to us. And that is correct English, and that is what the Latin says. He has shown his mercy to us. But if I said to you, John, Peter, and Mary is our friend, you would say, you need to go back to school. That's what the Latin's telling us. We'll see it in another text of the Mass. You look and see. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is shown his mercy to us. You see what's happening just by the language? It's telling us three are one God. And that subject, one God, takes that verb, not the plural. That's how powerful the liturgy is, just in that one word, which is scripture, by the way, Tobias. But the collect. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given your servants grace in the confession of the true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of your majesty to adore the unity. You see, Trinity in unity. Grant that by steadfastness in the same faith, we may be defended from all adversities. We're going to skip the scripture, but I think that the liturgy itself has given us strong indications of exactly what we believe. Although our Lord took time and effort, especially the Last Supper, to explain that he was going to invoke, petition the Father, to send the Advocate, the Holy Ghost, in his name. That's your habit. There are many other references, that's all. Old Testament, there are indications, but no explicit revelation of the Blessed Trinity. God did not want the poor people of the Old Testament to be confused without all the helps of our Lord himself coming in the incarnation and all the helps of the sacraments, everything, because he had to preserve the monotheistic belief among the Hebrew people, because everyone else had fallen away from the primitive revelation, just so you know. The primitive revelation is one of monotheism. Polytheism was a corruption of the original belief. Don't be fooled by archaeology and everything else. The original people were not polytheists. They were monotheists. How do we know it? Adam and Eve. They were monotheists. So we understand that our Lord had to come. It was reserved for him to reveal this inner secret. So you can imagine it coming right from his sacred heart. Okay, have to interrupt again for a little tangent item. I'm not going to wait until no one shows up for the Feast of Corpus Christi to make this point. The Feast of the Sacred Heart, this is the traditional thing that happens. Next Sunday, the priest has to get up and say, no one showed up for Corpus Christi, and now we have to fulfill the words of the Sacred Heart who cried basically to St. Margaret Mary and said, because no one honors me in the Blessed Sacrament and no one shows up for the Feast of Corpus Christi, I'm going to have to institute a new feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus the first Friday after the octave. I'm going to have to do that to make up for no one honoring me in the Blessed Sacrament. Are we going to be part of that? Are we going to just let things in our daily lives get in the way? I don't know how much you all are aware. I believe you are. We keep everything as Paul likes it to be very... This is where you come to get peace. Peace I give you. Peace I leave with you. That's what our Lord said. I will not leave you orphans. All of these things. We know that. And that's why you come here. But sometimes we have to pierce that little bubble that's created to make you aware of the fact we are in danger. How many more opportunities will you have to even go to the Feast of Corpus Christi? Hopefully you have for the rest of your lives. And that's everyone, even the babies. But the odds are that's not the case. And the dangers are getting ever closer. A word to the wise. Just on that, and just in case I run out of time. This doctrine is one of those things that if you have to baptize somebody in an emergency, it is one of the necessary truths that you must have the person believe in. Of course, that's a grace from God to believe, but to explicitate from the person before they can be baptized, they have to first believe in God. They have to believe that he rewards the good and punishes the evil. Third, they must believe in the Blessed Trinity. You don't have to go through everything with them. I mean, the person is dying. But you say, do you believe that God is three persons in one God? Yes, I believe. When they say that, that's God giving him the grace. And fourth, that the second person became man and died for our sins. Those are the four things necessary to baptize someone. That's how critical this doctrine is. Not just because God reveals something about himself and that's a sacred thing, but that's how important it is for us to get to heaven. This is a doctrine that in certain parts of the world, maybe those parts of the world are closer to us than we think. where you lose your head. I mean literally. Your head will be sawed off. So when we come to Mass today, we come to honor in all of the purposes of prayer. We come, as the collect says, to remain faithful in the face of enemies. Because it's calling for courage. We have prepared for the first half of the year. Holy Ghost has come. The apostles were very fearful. Holy Ghost came and gave them strength, has given us strength. Most of us are confirmed. We are soldiers of Christ. We can go out. We've been struck by the bishop, knowing that it might cost us something. It always does cost us something to be a true Christian. In the end, it might cost, well, we all give up our lives, but in this case, it might be a bloody martyrdom. This is a day where we say, God, I, with your grace, will remain faithful. Can't do this because of time constraints, wanted to, but just for, especially for the people who use the Baltimore 3, so that's going to be the upper grades of school and then adults, we always come to this part in the catechism where it tells us about what are the symbols, what are the creeds that we have, and we all understand, oh, we have the Nicene Creed, that's the one we say after the gospel, so we'll soon say it, and we all know the Apostles' Creed, which we say whenever we say the rosary. And then there's this creed, the Athanasian Creed. Okay, catechism, it's in there. I have to write that down for one of the answers. But then, well, this is the day to remember the Athanasian Creed because this is said today in the official prayer of the church. And we cannot go through St. Athanasius. We had his feast recently. And we cannot go through this. But how he leaves no room for doubt about there are three persons and one God. That's all we can say. If you want to, Google it. Look it up. In the short time left, we will very superficially, actually though, have to say anything we'd say, any hours that we'd spent in the end would be superficial. This is an infinitely deep mystery. Never able to be probed by us. The beatific vision will give us the fulfillment and complete happiness in seeing the Trinity in its inner life. But we will never, even in that moment, become one of the persons. That's the limit. We are a creature. But just so we know, because everyone believes it, and it's just nice to know how this is. And our key is the last gospel, which we hear all the time, about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The way that the great fathers of the church, like St. Augustine, not the only one, tell us what that's about. It's God the Father, the uncreated. Is the Son uncreated too? Yes, he is. Is the Holy Ghost? Yes, he is. So in a word, I've already slipped. What I meant to say is, not that he's uncreated, because they're all uncreated, but the Father is unbegotten. He is unbegotten, but he thinks of himself. And that expression, and I'm having to use a lot of words to give you what I have in my mind so it gets into your mind. God doesn't have to do that. He has one infinitely encompassing thought, encompassing word that completely expresses himself so perfectly. It is a person. It is the Son. He is begotten. He proceeds from the Father by this act of the Father's thought. And then the Father and Son, this goes on from eternity. There's no time sequence here. This has been going on from eternity and will go on forever. And the Father and the Son now and the Father, their mutual love and attraction is so powerful that it spirates, it breathes, it breathes forth a sigh of love. And that is so powerful, it is a person. The holy spiration, the holy breathing, the Holy Spirit. Father, thinking the Son is begotten, and they, loving each other, spirate the Holy Ghost. That is what goes on in every one of us who is in the state of grace. We call it the divine indwelling. So the kingdom, our Lord said, the kingdom of God is within you when you're in the state of grace. The Father begetting the Son and the two spirating the Holy Ghost is happening every time inside of us, every second we're in the state of grace. As we proceed with the rest of this year, we are supposed to keep that thought ever uppermost in our mind. Because with everything we've learned in the first half, we are supposed to become saints. If we are not holier at the end of the liturgical year, we have failed. We say to God, sorry, we'll do better. How are we going to do it? What are the tools at our disposal? First of all, the sacraments. Receive them as often as you can. Go to confession as often as you can, not when you need to. Not once a month is pretty much the guide, but you want to get close to our Lord? Receive the sacraments more often than that. Go to Mass. Say your prayers. Practice mental prayer. We keep telling you, it's connatural to us to know how to pray. And mental prayer, it sounds like it's, well, it is, because we're so distracted, and that's a big problem with mental prayer. But it's part of, we've told you so many times, the Mass is meant, it is strictly not mental prayer. It is vocal prayer, it's liturgical prayer, that's by definition. But the structure is there for mental prayer. As one of the spiritual author was even saying, I can't go into this. The three ages of the spiritual life that we first are in the purgative way, then the illuminative way, and then the unitive way. So first we are purged, we reject mortal sin and all sin. Then once we go through that, then God begins to enlighten us more and we start following his enlightenment to the point where we live the unitive state. We are one with God. That's where the saints are. Spiritual author telling us that's the structure of the Mass. The purgative way is everything up to the introit. We're confessing our sins. We're rejecting sin. Then the illuminative in the epistle and the gospel, the collect, the creed. We are given all, we are given enlightenment. And then it leads us to the unitive way. We receive God in Holy Communion. We are one with God. We are sanctified. We are a saint. That's just one insight from the Mass that can transport a soul in mental prayer. And of course, the Holy Rosary. We can go on. You know the tools at your disposal. But uppermost must be the awareness that God is living in me. He sees everything I do. And when your guardian angel gives you a little warning, don't do that. Don't go down that path. Don't. That's God's angel, like Angel Gabriel, telling you, I am inside you. I am with you. I am seeing what you're doing. Are you going to throw me out? Are you going to cast me out with what's going to lead you here to a mortal sin? Have I done all this for you, and yet you still don't know me, Philip? That's what our Lord said at the Last Supper. You can hear Sacred Heart almost crying there. So, as we go ahead with this Mass, thank God for giving you this insight and truth about himself. and making you part of it. And ask him to keep you faithful and promise him you are going to do everything you can in the days coming, in the days ahead, to become a saint. This is God's will for you, that you may be holy. May God bless you.